Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes see details.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Procrastination. Putting it off. Kicking the can down the road. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Carpet in the bathroom. Like why? In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
A little self-care can go a long way, especially amidst the hustle and bustle of the holidays. That's where Vegamore comes in. Trusted by millions, Vegamore is all about giving your hair the love and care it deserves. With their vegan and cruelty-free formulas, you can nourish and revitalize your strands while indulging in some much-needed pampering. Because let's face it, who couldn't use a bit more me time this time of year? Go to vegamore.com/ACAST, code ACAST. That's VEGAMOUR.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And welcome, everybody, to the most terrifying episode that we have done so far. An episode that features something so horrendous that Josh here was too scared to cover it. Isn't that right, Josh?
I am not doing it. I'm not happy about this.
You're not happy about it at all, are you?
No, I'm not.
First of all, you suggested it as an element to cover. Mm-hmm. Then you decided you didn't want to do it yourself.
Nope.
So I said I'd do it. And you even tried to encourage me not to cover today's subject.
Yes, I did.
Shall we reveal to the world what we are covering today?
Yeah, go on then.
Some say it's the most haunted object in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, today we are covering the Dybbuk box.
No.
Why is it, Josh, that you didn't want to do it? What is it that's so scary about this particular item that you didn't want to cover it?
Okay, so I'll keep it quick. So I listened to two podcasts when I didn't know anything about it. I listened to two podcasts about it.
Okay, so after the first one is when you suggested it to me, yeah?
Yes.
Right.
And both podcasts don't even show pictures of it because they think that looking at the picture can curse you.
Okay.
And the way they were talking about it, I just didn't want anything to do with it. And then to make things even worse, that was the thing where Post Malone reportedly touched the Dybbuk box.
Okay, yeah, we'll get to that.
And he had a load of bad luck.
Yeah.
So I won't go too much into it cause if you're covering
it. We're covering it now, mate. We're going into it.
Yeah, essentially, I heard it's very, very, very cursed.
Let's just say that's debatable.
Okay.
For now, I will go through like the story of how it became such a prolific thing. Okay, so I've got this from an article written by a reporter called Charles Moss, mm-hmm. who was also wanting to do a podcast covering this item, and he did most of the research, and I literally just skimmed through his article. to cover this. So there will be a link to that article in the show notes.
Cool.
If you want to go and read up for it yourself and get a little bit more deeper into it. But basically, the story starts off with a guy called Kevin Manis. And he bought this item, the Dybbuk box, which is basically like a wine cabinet.
Okay.
And he bought it at a yard sale from the granddaughter of supposedly a Holocaust survivor called Havela, who escaped from Poland to Spain back in the Second World War. And then she moved on to the USA, and the Dybbuk box, or the wine cabinet, that she brought with her to the USA, and that was only one of three items that she bought from Spain, having escaped Poland.
Oh, so it could have sentimental value and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so, yeah, yeah. She lived to the ripe old age of 103, apparently.
Oh, go on, girl.
Yeah, yeah, she had a good innings. And the granddaughter then obviously cleared out her stuff, and this wine cabinet was one of the items that she sold. It's just unclear whether it was like a yard sale or a boot sale, something like that. And Kevin Manis bought it, and she told him that it was called the Dybbuk box.
Okay.
And a Dybbuk is an old Hebrew or Jewish term for an evil spirit, generally that possesses people.
Okay.
Okay, so it's quite an evil thing. It's not a very particularly nice thing to have hanging around, you know.
Yeah, and that's what she said to him.
That's what she said. And she said that the box should never be opened, because to do that will unleash a lot of bad luck.
Yeah.
Okay?
This is where I started getting scared.
Yeah, okay. So Kevin then took it back to, he'd got a shop in Portland, Oregon. I think it was some kind of secondhand shop or something like that. But his intention was to restore it and give it to his mother. When he took it back to the shop, he did open it.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah, Kev. And inside, he found two coins, U.S. wheat pennies. I don't know what they are. Do you know what a wheat penny is?
No idea.
I have no idea. They were dated 1925 and 1928, by all accounts. He found a four-legged candlestick, a golden wine cup, probably worth quite a bit, I would imagine. a little granite sculpture inscribed with the Shalom. Or Shalom, which is some kind of, again, and some kind of Hebrew prayer.
I always thought Shalom was hello.
Oh, it could be.
In Hebrew.
It could be. Yeah, then maybe that is then, yeah.
I could be really wrong.
I could be wrong as well. I mean, it said in the, this was a granite sculpture inscribed with Shalom and two locks of hair, human hair.
Why does the hair have to be in there?
I don't know. It also, on the back of the box, had something called the Shema, which is an important Judaism prayer.
Okay.
Quite an important prayer in Judaism. And that was carved into the back of the box. The box, I think, is just made out of wood, like oak or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
So I think he spent a little time restoring it, making sure that it was nice enough and that. Like,
can I ask a quick question? Was he restoring it back to a wine cabinet?
Yeah, back to a drinks cabinet. And then, because of the spooky stories and stuff that came along with this box, he actually followed through with his intentions and gave it as a gift to his mother for Halloween.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right.
So he's leaning into it. He's
Yeah. Now, she apparently opened the box, and almost instantly had a stroke.
Wow. Okay.
So she ended up in hospital. I'm not sure how long she kept the box for. It probably said in the article, but I forget now. I didn't write it down. But she ended up giving it back to Kevin.
And he accepted it.
Back in the shop.
Right, okay.
To try and sell it. Now, while it was in the shop, apparently, one of the store employees had a brother who came to visit him at the store one day. And took an interest in the Dybbuk box, knocked it off the shelf.
Oh, so it's been open for a third time.
Yeah, right. But they put it back on the shelf, righted it and everything, and thought nothing of it. Until, like, literally a couple of weeks later, the brother committed suicide.
Wow. Okay, so we're 3 for 3 at the moment with the the curse.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the curse is pretty, you know, it's feeling real at this point, isn't it? You know,
this is why I was getting scared.
And then after the brother committed suicide, I think the actual store employee must have fallen into depression or whatever. For whatever reason, he ended up also committing suicide. I'm not sure how long afterwards it was, but he and the brother both ended up committing suicide.
Wow. Okay.
Of course, totally unrelated.
Yeah, and those were the two people where the box fell off the shelf in front of them.
Yep, yep. Now, Kevin's girlfriend didn't like him having this box.
No, I can't think why.
She kept complaining about bad smells around it. Yeah. And apparently she witnessed the doors of the box opening on their own.
Yep.
So she didn't like it. And she convinced him to list it on eBay. And this was in 2003.
Okay.
So on eBay, he put it. And he was open about it. The curse and, you know, all the bad luck and everything that's gone around with this box. Oh, I should also say that one of the symptoms that they had was all of them were nightmares about some old woman with sunken eyes plaguing their dreams.
Yeah, they mentioned that on the podcast I listened to. Yeah.
Okay, now, apparently everyone who has been in ownership of this box, like even Kevin's mother, like the store employee, I don't know about the brother, perhaps the brother, Kevin's girlfriend, everybody that had anything to do with this box started having dreams about this old woman with sunken eyes.
Yeah, and it was pretty much the same dream, wasn't it? It was like reoccurring and it was pretty much identical.
From what I believe, yeah, it was like a recurring dream, yeah.
Very interesting.
Now, he did end up selling it on eBay. I'm not going to... I think it did disclose the amount that it was sold for somewhere in the article, but I'm not going to go into that. Mm-hmm. It passed through several hands. Everybody, again, more people complaining about bad luck, car accidents, you know, this sort of thing.
Yeah.
Until it ended up with a guy called Jason Haxton, who bought the box. And he wrote quite a successful book about it. I think he was the guy that declared it as the most haunted item in the world.
Okay.
And in the book, he actually described some of the symptoms that he had, which was bleeding eyes. Can you imagine, like, your eyes literally bleeding?
Yeah, anything to do with eyes and I'm out.
That's horrible.
Yeah,
isn't it?
I can't deal with it.
Absolutely horrendous thing to... he had choking attacks where he couldn't breathe and he was just, you know, that sort of thing, needed the Heimlich manoeuvre or whatever. And again, the old woman with the sunken eyes was plaguing his dreams, giving him nightmares. Mm-hmm. So he wrote this book about it. And like I say, it did quite well. And there were three films eventually made about the book box. One of them in 2012 was called The Possession. Have you ever seen that? I think I've seen that on like Netflix or something. I don't think I've ever actually watched it.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
But I can't say I've ever seen it. To be honest, I didn't know they'd made films about the Dybbuk box.
Apparently, yeah. I don't think I've seen it. But it was definitely made, 2012. Manis and Jason Haxton, so Kevin Manis and Jason Haxton were invited to the set as advisors, as sort of executive producers sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And all throughout the filming, apparently, strange things were happening, things going missing, employees of the film studio having accidents on their way to work, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And to top it all off, studio lights would just explode. Apparently, while they were filming, just random like explosions of studio lights, people getting showered in glass. And upon finishing the film, 5 days later, all of the props caught fire. No one knows how it happened. There was no explanation of how the fire started, but all of the props from the movie up in flames.
I know how it started. Because it's cursed. That's how it started. Because you shouldn't mess with things like this. Because famously, The Exorcist and The Omen were also cursed films, weren't they? And stuff was happening around that.
Yes.
So this
and
is very
The Island
similar.
Of Dr. Maru as well, I believe.
I love that title.
Another one. Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah, you are correct, though. Yeah. The Exorcist was obviously written as a work of fiction, but upon doing the film, yeah, they had lots of strange things happening, including, I believe, one morning they came onto the set to find that the air conditioning units had been running in overdrive and the entire set was covered in a layer of snow.
Oh, yeah, because that's not creepy at all.
Not at all. But you go around making spooky horror films, you've got to expect some of this stuff.
Yeah, the craziest one, obviously it's not the Dibbo box, but I remember watching like a little mini documentary thing on Shudder or whatever it was on Amazon.
Right.
And they were talking about The Omen. And correct me if I'm wrong, if anyone's heard this, but I'm pretty sure one of the producers got into a car accident and passed away. And
quite possibly, yeah.
He actually crashed on Omen Street.
Omen, like Omen Drive or something like that.
Yeah, there was loads of coincidences that were really weird. Like someone who worked on it as well, they missed their plane. And then the plane that they missed crashed. It got struck by lightning or something like that.
Wow.
So the films that are cursed, the Dybbuk box is
The Possession is definitely one of them. I might have to check out this film now, to be honest.
Yeah, it makes me want to watch it.
But you don't even want to look at a picture of the Dybbuk box, so why would you want to look at a film?
Well, if it's a fake Dybbuk box, is the actual Dybbuk box in this film?
I doubt it.
Oh, I can watch it then. That's fine.
I very much doubt it. I don't know for sure. It could be, but I don't think so. The Dybbuk box did change hands. Jason Haxton sold it. I think he did quite well out of the movie and the book and everything. And now, do you know a guy, Zach Bagans, Ghost Adventures?
I know Zach Bagans.
He has his own museum called the Haunted Museum.
Yeah.
He purchased the Dybbuk box for his museum. Now, this amount was not disclosed. I don't know how much he paid for it.
I think I remember seeing it, and I'm not going to say, but it was quite...
I would imagine it's quite a lot.
Yeah.
He featured it on Ghost Adventures, I think possibly several times, but most prolifically in an episode called Ghost Adventures Quarantine.
Yeah.
With, as you correctly said earlier, Post Malone.
Posty.
I know you're interested in this bit.
Big fan.
I did watch an extract of the episode, the interview that he did with Seth Meyers. Seth Meyers. Where he went into like some of the things that happened to him afterwards. On the way back from doing the episode, the landing gear wouldn't come down on his plane, and he had to be diverted to a second airport so that they could actually get it working. And I'm not sure if they had to do a crash land or whatever, whether they actually got the landing gear down in the end or what. But yeah, he had to be diverted.
The plane malfunctioned.
Yep. Within like a couple of weeks, his house got burgled, and he had a car accident. And this was all within about 2 weeks.
Yeah, it wasn't long at all.
Of doing the episode. Now, here is where I'm going to point out that you're wrong. Post Malone did not actually touch the Dybbuk box.
Yes, I remember now. Did he touched Zach Bagans?
Zach Bagan on the shoulder while Zach, I think, was opening the box.
Yeah, that's it. Yes. As you said it, I remembered, yeah.
So obviously, whether you know the curse was contracted through just that touch of body to body, you know, or whatever it was. But you know, that is how the claim that it's affected Post Malone is, because I don't think anybody's actually sort of claimed that just looking at the box has. Well, I don't know. Well, you say your podcast people.
Yeah, there was one podcast that. In particular. I won't say because I don't want to, you know, discredit one of them. But they in their notes where you attach links and things like that, they refused to put a picture of the actual Dybbuk box because they were worried that it would curse people.
And curse their podcast.
Yeah.
Right.
So they refused. So when they said that, I was out. I'm not looking at
it. So here, I'm now 50-50 on whether I should use stock footage of this Dybbuk box on the YouTube.
Don't use the actual one, because I won't even be able to watch it. No, I haven't it.
Do you can't like, watch your own podcast.
No, do a Jack in the Box or something instead. I'm not having a Dybbuk box on our podcast.
How would you know it was the real one, though?
Well, I wouldn't. But then I wouldn't take the risk. I'd have to listen.
Never watch it.
Yeah, I'd listen to it.
You just listen to the audio. Well, big up to the audio crowd anyway, because you know our audio podcast is now doing better than YouTube, which had taken over for a little while. But now the audio podcast is doing much better. Shout out to the audio people. We love you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyway, eventually. What did I say his name was? Charles Moss, the reporter that covered all of this. He started talking to Kevin Manis. And I'm just going to pull this up because I've actually got a screenshot of it on my phone because I couldn't be bothered to write it down.
And Kevin Manis was the original guy that bought it from the yard
sale. He was the guy that put it up for sale on eBay.
Yeah.
Right. So Charles Moss came across this claim from Kevin Manis, and it says, and I quote, "I am the original creator of the story of the Dybbuk box, which appeared as one of my eBay posts back in 2003. The idea that Dybbuk boxes have some kind of history prior to my story, and the idea that a Dybbuk box could contain anything other than a Dybbuk, along with any deviation to the type of contents I created to be found inside of the Dybbuk box, is laughable at best. How about this? If you or anyone else can find any reference to a Dybbuk box anywhere in history prior to my eBay post, I'll pay you $100,000 and tattoo your name in my forehead."
So he's confident.
He's pretty confident that he made it up.
Okay.
So eventually, Charles Moss did have a conversation. They got on Facebook Messenger and they were talking about this. And Charles was like, "Well, look, the way you've been talking about it makes me think that you've made up the whole thing."
Well, yeah, because you said about two suicides and his mum had a stroke and...
Yeah, well his mum was even interviewed because she was in ownership of the box at one stage. She was interviewed as well by a TV program or something like that. And she gave off all this spiel about, how, you know, the nightmares and, the, you know, all this sort of thing. And when Manis was pressed about, you know, how comes his... Your mum said all this about the Dybbuk box. If it's not true, he said, "Well, bless her, she was just covering for me."
Ah,
out of the goodness of her own heart. He didn't even have to tell her what to say or anything. She just made the whole thing up as well. Oh, apparently,
that's a good woman.
Yeah. But anyway, what happened then was this: Charles Moss tried to get Zach Bagans to do an interview for his podcast as well on the same subject. Zach refused, didn't want anything to do with it. So Charles then told Zach what he had found out. Kevin Manis had said, "Look, mate, the whole thing's fake."
Right. I'm guessing he didn't take it well.
Put them in contact with each other. We don't know how that conversation went.
Yeah, okay.
I can't imagine it went well.
I don't think Zach would have been happy.
Zach, I don't think, was very happy at all.
Especially if you saw what he spent on it and stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, because I mean, this is the thing. Zach did come back and say, look, okay, he might have made this up, but this box, everybody that's had anything to do with it has had this bad luck, has felt the curse. He said, even if it started off as nothing in the beginning, it's yeah. become something now, you know? And, it, you know, he's quite adamant about that. He's
right, in a way.
He kind of is, yeah. Eventually, Charles Moss then gets hold of Kevin Manis again and says, like, you know, how did it go talking with Zach Bagans and admitting that it was all fake? And he went, not good. Mm. It was about a week ago, and he said, I'm starting to think that maybe I've bitten off a bit more than I can chew here, because, like, in the last week, he said, my own car's broken down. My girlfriend left me after her mother died.
Wow.
And two of my other friends have died as well.
Wow. Okay.
All in the space of a week since speaking to Zach Bagans.
Maybe Zach used the Dybbuk box to put a curse on him.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Who knows?
But that's weird.
I mean, that just kind of, I don't know, just gone through this quicker than I thought we would, but that has sort of brought us to the end of the actual sort of story of the Dybbuk box.
Yeah, yeah.
Zach Bagans still has possession of it.
Still in his museum.
Still in his museum. Zach Bagans stands by it. He really believes in the curse.
I mean, I would too.
In fairness, you know, when he's had lots of creepy stuff happen around it, lots of sort of bad luck and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I mean, we've got to give it fair go, really. I mean, when I first started looking into this, the first place I went is Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And obviously, within two sentences, they were going, it's fake, it's fake. He admitted it. He made it up. He, you know, it was all just complete nonsense. He made it up because he's a creative writer, and he wanted to, I can't quote on this because I didn't write it down, but he said that what he wanted to make was an interactive horror story.
Oh, was he a horror writer?
Well, some kind of creative writer. It doesn't say specifically horror writer. Mm. But I think if you're trying to sell some spooky old box or something, then you would make up a horror story. And that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to make this interactive horror story that people could believe in as they owned the box and as it went down the generations.
It's quite clever.
It is very clever. Mm. The Shema, the prayer that was carved into the back.
Yeah.
He did it himself.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
The little granite sculpture inscribed with Shalom.
Yeah.
Was apparently just one of his little things that he did. It's, you know, he's made them loads of times.
Shalom, little, Jackie.
It's kind of like a trademark for him. At least one of the locks of hair was from his best friend. Oh, I can't remember the guy's name now. It was on the article. I think that possibly even like the pennies, the candlestick and the golden wine cup, they might have all just been stuff that he couldn't sell in his shop.
he just shoved it
in the Dybbuk box, opened it up and went, oh, look at all this strange stuff. Do you know what I mean? But, yeah. I mean, Dybbuk boxes now have become such a widespread thing. You can buy them on eBay and Etsy. I think even Amazon sell Dybbuk boxes. You can watch YouTube videos of people opening their Dybbuk boxes. But no one's got the original one. Only Zach Bagans has that.
Mm.
But, again, I mean, if you listen to Kevin Manis, then you just think the whole thing is made up.
Yeah.
But even Manis himself, by the end of it, but you know, after his girlfriend left him because her mum died, and it's too frail. I think his mother, I think she might have died as well at some point. The store employee and his brother, that was fact. They did actually commit suicide. It wasn't just part of the story. That is an actual factual thing. So, how do we rate this?
You can look at it either way, couldn't you? You could say it is cursed, Or you could say
it's also debunked.
It's debunked, so they were obviously all coincidences.
Exactly. I mean, that's that. Like on Wikipedia, when you scroll down, a lot of like the scientists and that sort of thing, professors have come forward and said, "Well, it's obviously just coincidence, isn't it? Mm. People have opened the box and then had some misfortune, and then they blame it on the fact that they opened the Dybbuk box or whatever." Yeah, that's one theory.
Yeah, but then
there's the theory that it is actually freaking cursed.
Yeah, because the same thing happened, didn't when they raided the pyramids and the sarcophagus and stuff, there was curses in the tomb.
Yeah, I believe the guy who funded the dig died within 2 weeks of it happening, of them opening it, yeah. Mm. Yeah, the curse of Tutankhamun is a known thing.
Yeah.
So but again, there's skepticism about what happened around those things as well, because some people claim it's a curse and other people again claim it's a coincidence.
Coincidence.
This is the thing with curses, isn't it? Can you actually prove that that object has caused that to happen, or would that have happened anyway?
Yeah. It's a hard one, isn't it?
Mm.
It's a very difficult one, because when I heard the podcast about it, another thing they mentioned was like when someone tried putting their hand in it, so they opened it and put their hand in.
Yeah.
And then loads of insects came out. And
I've not read that one.
But then the podcast I listened to also didn't debunk it as well. They kind of left the mystery and stuff, whereas we give facts here.
Well, we try to get to the bottom of things.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in this case, the bottom is not as crystal clear as a glass bottom boat. You know, I honestly, like when I first said to you, you don't want to cover it, I'll cover it. I went on Wikipedia and it was just like fake. I was like, oh, great. I'm just going to paranormality rating of like one or two.
Yeah.
You know, particularly as the guy who sold it in 2003 admits it, you know, freely admits that he made it all up.
Yeah.
But then with all this other stuff that's gone, and Zach Bagan still stands by it.
Yeah.
And he's quite a well-known guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. I'm sure he might have, you know, blown things out of proportion maybe in past episodes or something like that. But, I mean, he's still sticking to his guns on this. So he's obviously had some kind of experiences with it that has convinced him that the curse is real.
And that's the thing. I like Zach Bagans because he's very passionate about the paranormal side of life and ghosts and spooky stuff and weird stuff. And I've watched many a Ghost Adventure episode, and there's a lot that are really, really good.
Yeah, he does do a good show.
It's entertaining. They do capture some stuff, and the fact that he's so kind of involved in that paranormal world.
Yeah.
If anyone says that I believe that it's kind of cursed or that there is some sort of curse there, I mean, for me, it boosts the scale up a little bit.
You'd think he'd have some credence since he's been in this sort of profession, really, for so long, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's an actual, like, ghost hunter and stuff.
Yeah.
He puts himself in situations that I would never do.
Oh, no, I wouldn't want
to
do it.
I'm scared to look at a picture of a Dybbuk box.
And he owns two of them.
Yeah. Owns it, and he's touching it and probably playing with it and stuff. So, I mean, it's an odd one, isn't it? It's kind of in the middle. But I still feel a little bit scared to even look at a picture of it and things. And there's an aura of, like, creepiness with the Dybbuk box that still gets me. I know you've kind of debunked it and you've said these things.
I have, but I get the feeling that towards the end of the article where I was reading about what happened actually to Kevin Manis after Zach Bagans cross-referenced him about the whole thing being fake and, you know, the things that happened to him. I think even Kevin Manis, who made it all up to start with, was starting to think maybe there's more to this than what there should be.
Yeah. Could very well be.
Because in his eyes, he made it all up. But the bad luck is catching up with him anyway.
Mm.
Or is it just you get your comeuppance in the end? If you make up these things, then
yeah, it's just come full circle.
Yeah, it's come back around to bite you in the arse. I mean, So it's a difficult one.
It is. I feel, because I am still a tiny bit scared of it.
Right.
I want to give it a 4.
A 4?
Yeah.
That's a lot lower than I thought you'd give it.
Well.
See, not right. No, even after I've done all this research and, you know, yeah, we've got the debunking and all that sort of thing. Even I'm leaning to like a 5.5, maybe a 6.
You know what ruined it,
because there's so many people have the same nightmare about the old women and the sunken eyes and
people
having strokes and car accidents, and multiple car accidents, people dying, committing suicide.
There's a lot of death and negativity. There's
a chance that it's all coincidence. There's also a chance that it is related.
Do you know what it is for me, though, why I've given it a 4?
Go on,
is
then.
When you said he'd etched it in himself and...
Oh, the carving on the back of the box.
The carving, and he put the items in, and it was his friend's hair. Immediately, it was a lot less kind of creepy and cursed for me. It was like, oh, that... It was kind of like a realization of like, oh, this is a bloke that's just tried to make money. But
fair enough, yeah.
But when you did bring it round full circle and...
Manus himself never actually made that much out of it.
Well, no. But he was trying to sell something that wasn't selling, wasn't it?
Yeah, basically. That's what I think it was, yeah.
I mean, I've got to give him props for that. It's very creative. Actually, you know what? I will give it a bit higher because the fact that his creativity has made this famous and he's thought of this and made it up and it's got as big as it has. And like I said, there's podcasts, films.
Yeah, I mean, and he definitely created it. Like I say, the Dibbuk... In the Hebrew history and that sort of thing, it's only known for possessing people. It's a spirit of essentially a person possessing another person. Nowhere in like Judaism or Hebrew or anything like that has it ever been described that it's possessed an inanimate object or, you know, haunted an inanimate object the way that this Dibbuk box has been haunted.
Yeah. Well, I've boosted it up a little bit then.
Okay.
I'll give it a 5.
You'll give it a 5?
I'll give it a 5. Because I'm still in the middle.
I'll give it a 6 then. So we can average at 5.5, which is just slightly above dead center it there.
Yeah. Because I don't know about you, but in my mind, I kind of think of like anything under 5 isn't really paranormal or scary.
Not really.
You know what I mean?
No,
if it's above a 5. It's more that way where I'm like, there's a little bit of credence to it. So I think 5.5 is
fine. So out of interest, not that this is anything to do with it really, but at the start of the episode, before I'd been through all this, before I did any kind of debunking or anything, what would you have given it then?
8.5.
Yeah?
8.8, something like that. Yeah. Even when I was listening to the old podcast and read documentaries and things about it, it was always a minimum of an 8. Like, it really did give me the heebie-jeebs.
Oh, I know it did. I know it did.
I didn't like it at all. Like, even just the mention or seeing
it was,
the word.
It was pretty much... Because, like, when you first mentioned the Dibbuk box to me, I was just like, oh, never heard it. I'll stick it on the list anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And never really thought about it. And it wasn't until you came back weeks later.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, I'm not sure about this Dibbuk box, mate. I've been hearing a lot of stories, and I'm not sure if we want to cover it. That was what perked my interest. Yeah. And I was like, wow. No, I'm going to do it now.
Well, I'm kind of glad you did in a way, because I'm not that scared of it anymore.
Good.
So, that's all. I'm still not looking at a picture of it, though.
Okay, I promise I will not put the picture of the actual Dibbuk box.
Okay, I'm holding
knowingly,
you to that.
Knowingly.
Are you crossing your fingers?
No, I'm not crossing my fingers. I will not knowingly put the real Dibbuk box on YouTube. I may find a box that looks similar or some other lesser Dibbuk box being sold on Etsy or whatever and put a picture of that on or something.
Because
the actual one that is in the museum, Zach Bagans owns, I promise you, I won't put that one on YouTube just so that you and your lovely wife can enjoy the episode.
Good, because good luck getting another co-host as handsome as this one. So.
Well, exactly.
You've been looking for a while. So, It's jokes on you if I die from watching a video or seeing a picture
of it. Well, just please don't commit suicide, mate.
I don't plan on it. We should probably mention that with the up-and-coming...
Disclaimer, please. Nobody commits suicide after listening to or watching this podcast.
Yeah, yeah, please don't.
Okay,
yeah.
not on our watch, yeah. Right? Because, I don't think it could be high enough to... Mm. You know, if it was like an 8 or a 9, then I'd probably be a bit more worried about it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
We've got sensible listeners. I think they'll listen to this and go, oh, that's a shame. Why did he have to carve it in himself?
Yeah.
Because I was there. And then when you said he interviewed him, and then it turns out he'd made up the whole thing.
And your opinion just plummeted.
Yeah.
Your heart sunk, didn't it?
I didn't like it. It's weird that I'd prefer to be scared about it than to debunk it completely and not be scared of it. I like a bit of mystery. You've debunked it. And
well, I think the mystery is still there because, like, even all the people involved, even the guy who literally listed it on eBay is now not so sure that there is no curse, you know? Which, that's why I've given it just a little bit higher. Because like you say, anything under 5 is just not really worth the time. It's not definitely not paranormal.
Especially the things that are minus 10. Don't even mention them again.
Oh, no. We don't go there again. But anyway, yeah, that is the Dybbuk Box, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. I hope it doesn't give you any nightmares about old women with sunken eyes. or feelings of despair. Please do join us next week. Josh has got a brilliant episode lined up for you next week. As always, like and subscribe if you're on YouTube. Give us a comment. If you're on the audio podcast, then you are one of the most awesome people in the world. We love you. Continue to download. Come back next week. And until then, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
This has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
So good, so good, so good.
Perfect gifts? We've got them at Nordstrom Rack stores now. UGG, Nike, Barefoot Dreams, Kate Spade New York, and more. Find everything on their wish list all in one place.
Steve Madden? Yes, please.
It's perfect.
Did we just score?
The greatest gifts of all time? Yeah.
Head to your Nordstrom Rack store to score. Great brands, great prices, the greatest gifts of all time.
1-800-Flowers.com knows that a gift is never just a gift. A gift is an expression of everything you feel and helps to build more meaningful relationships. 1-800-Flowers takes the pressure off by helping you navigate life's important moments by making it simple to find the perfect gift. From flowers and cookies to cake and chocolate, 1-800-Flowers helps guide you in finding the right gift to say how you feel. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? Well, check this out. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.